League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I'm going to need you to lower your expectations a little bit.
What the? KFMC. Mont Belvieu, Houston. ESPN 97.5. A Gao Media Station.
I'm the king of rock. There is none higher. Fire MCs should call me sire. To run my kingdom, you must choose fire. I won't stop rocking till I retire.
Now we rock.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Run DMC. We had a little Beastie Boys in there. Celebrating the 30th anniversary of License to Ill. These guys probably weren't even born in here that are in here now. That's scary. I don't know what that makes me, but scary. Hey, quick word here for Liberty Kitchen. And by the way, that's Kings of Rock, Run DMC. You know I'm passionate about great food and my friends over at the Liberty Kitchen, my good friend Carl Leaves, Lance Fegan over there. These guys know how to do it. Lunch, supper, and brunch, they know how to do it. I think of it as modern American comfort food. Their classics taken up several notches. They got the best burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried, mom's spaghetti chowder, farm stand, crisp food. That Liberty Kitchen stamps its claim on and owns. It's big flavor at a neighborhood social. Liberty Kitchen staples. Here's some of my favorites. Obviously, the gumbo. And if you get the gumbo, you got to do all the blue crab in there. Deviled eggs topped with fried oysters. Great combination of the egg and then the fried nature of the oyster. Man, I sound like the guy on the Food Channel now. Dixie Fried Chicken, Po' Boys, infamous Burger Bowl, along with the robust house-smoked meats, grilled chops and steaks, ribs and fish, round out the menu, weekday specials, signature cocktails, and cold beer. Now you understand why Liberty Kitchen's a regular stop. Liberty Kitchen, lunch, supper, and brunch. Stop by the Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, and now open the Treehouse in Memorial City, which is a really cool spot. If you haven't been over there, get over there. All right, round table time. We got a great group in here tonight. Victor Araiza, DeporteIndependiente.com, also does a lot of work with me at Soccer Matters and the Facebook page. Very talented guy on the pulse of it here in Houston around the Dynamo as well. Victor, thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks. Always a pleasure to be here.
Outstanding. Jesus Acevedo, you know him from MLSsoccer.com, also has the pulse on the Houston Dynamo. He's down at all the training sessions. Excellent writer. He joins us as well. Jesus, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Glenn.
Second cap for you. Second or third cap for you, Victor?
I'm on number three.
Yeah, number three. Three caps for Victor. We got two for Jesus. And his first cap ever tonight, Luis Milano comes in. He's the founder of Raza Futbolera. He writes for SB Nation. He's all about MLS, Liga MX. He has the Milano Football Show, Twitter, at Milano Soccer. Luis, welcome in, buddy.
Hey, thank you, man.
All right, appreciate pull that it. Microphone close to you.
All right, thank you.
You got to bring your big voices here to the round table. All right, let's start it off with, obviously, I think we'll start it off with Jurgen Klinsmann, and that's been the hot topic on the phone tonight. The phones have been ringing. By the way, if you're out there, you want to join the conversation, 713-780-3776. So, Jesus started off with just what you saw over the course of these two games, Mexico and Costa Rica, with Klinsmann in the U.S.
To be honest, I just saw a team that was very disorganized. And even, you know, Michael Bradley said it after the game, after the Mexico game. And it just looks like a team that quit after the second goal for Costa Rica. And to me, it just seems like if Jurgen's words are just falling on, you know, deaf ears now. I think it's just time for a change. I feel that the players, they just don't like the position that he puts them in as far as where to attack, where to defend. I feel like they just don't know what to do. And I mean, that goes back to also the players that he's picking for the match. You know, for Costa Rica, Jermaine Jones had no business being there after that Mexico game. And to be honest, I think the state of the...
Now let me take it back to Jones.
Yeah.
If Jones doesn't play, who do you play?
Sasha, easily. You at least want to get a draw. So a place that you have never ever had 3 points from you, at least want to draw, but also you want to attack. So I think Sasha would have fit that perfectly.
Could have calmed the game down with his skill set on the ball.
Easily. Play some good passes to Josie, Bobby Wood, but it just wasn't there. And, you know, Jones, I don't want to say that it's just his fault. It was a team loss. Yeah,
can't pin it on one man.
Not at all. Not that kind of game. But a whole team loss comes back to the man at the top.
But this is how dedicated Klinsmann is to Jermaine Jones. Remember, he was fast-tracking it in MLS to get himself into the U.S. games against Mexico and Costa Rica. And, you know, for him to play two games in a row like that.
And he's just coming back from an injury as well.
Just coming back from an injury.
Correct. He played at the beginning of the year with Colorado, was outstanding, set him off on a good path. Then he was out for most of the season, and then all of a sudden was brought back into the fold at the end of the year coming off the injury. So I don't know how he could have played two good consecutive games.
And also at this, it may not just be Jones. It's also Chandler, who, you know, Jurgen seems to have a big affinity for, who, you know, we've seen as in 2003 versus Honduras.
He's never done it.
Timmy Chandler just doesn't play good in that kind of hot heat. And it showed again. So maybe it's something that maybe we have to say. Is he playing some of these Germans too much, these German-Americans? You know, there's some good other players that maybe should get a chance. You know, DeAndre Jalen didn't even get it on the field both of these games.
Outside back positions continue to be a real nightmare for the U.S. Luis Milano, your thoughts?
I was going to add on to the Jermaine Jones. I feel like, Jermaine Jones wasn't informed to really play these two games, but Jermaine Jones made his career out of Germany. And, well, you know, Jurgen Klinsmann being a German, he might have said, all right, he's the only one that understands my strategy, and I'm going to go with the guy that understands my strategy rather than the guy who's fully fit. And he'd rather die with the devil he knows than the devil he doesn't. So that's probably the only pretty reason that Jermaine Jones could have actually played those two games, because he felt that playing most of his career in Germany, he could have understand his style on the field.
Coaches have go-to guys that they feel very comfortable with, that they think have to be sort of pillars of their teams. And I don't think any question Jones is that guy. We've seen it over the course of the years down here in Houston with certain players that kept playing all the time, and we kind of shook our heads and say, you know, they look like they're getting comfortable. I think the confusing thing is, and I want to get all of your opinion on this, but I think just the constantly changing tactics, coming out with a 3-set against Mexico, the lack of consistency. We began to see a little consistency in the Copa Centenario in the way that Jurgen Klinsmann was putting his team out there. I don't think it was a perfect Copa Centenario, but it did seem like there was some consistency and a little bit of job definition going on. That's the other thing. I don't think some of these players have their roles defined in a way that there's clarity to them. So I think that's a big part of the problem. It's just this up and down nature of what's next. You know, it's unpredictable. And players want things to be very much laid out to them and very clear. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think he said it over the course of his tenure with the national team also, what kind of players that he wants for his system. And he said what he asked of his players. And one of the biggest things that he's asked for them is he wants players that play in the European system, play in Europe, play in that kind of competition. So at the same time, are you a little surprised that maybe he's failing when he's told you, this is what I want you guys to do? And a lot of his players are coming back and playing in MLS. I guess what I'm trying to get at here is, with Klinsmann, you're asking him to prepare a meal when he doesn't have the groceries that he in turn asked you for. That goes a little bit to the player development.
This is one of the most talented teams that the U.S. has had in, I'm talking about years. So how does he not
is
have
it
the
though?
Right?
Because I mean, when you compare, I think a lot of things that one of the biggest things that gets lost as well here is that he also faced, it's true, they got 0 points out of these two games, but he also faced the two strongest teams in the region, the other two group winners, two, I think, better teams in Costa Rica and Mexico, at least talent-wise and as it plays.
Not an excuse when people just number one looked totally lost. Mexico should have won that game in the first 25 minutes. It should have been 3-0. It should have been over. Should have been done and dusted. If there was anything you could be critical of Mexico on the day, it was not winning the game in the first 25 minutes. I don't care about Dos Acero. They were so dominant, it was ridiculous. The U.S. couldn't get any pressure on the ball. They turned the game around in the second half, and I'm sure the Mexican fans and everybody were thinking, okay, here we go again. The U.S. is going to steal a game that we should have put away in the first half, right? I just think there's a lack of clarity with players when it comes to purpose of play, system, starting points, job descriptions and definition, all of these things. That's the manager's job. Klinsmann is supposed to be a motivator. I don't think he's been very motivating because I don't think his messages are getting through to the players anymore.
I think these two games were the most difficult, but it's not that they lost the games. It's how they lost the games. That, to me, is the heart of the matter. How they lost the game. There was no fight. The team quit. They could have won against Mexico, and even a draw would have been salvageable. So I guess we got to thank, you know, Rafa, that he made that goal. So now we're having this conversation about, you know,
they didn't answer the bell against Costa Rica.
They didn't answer the bell against Costa Rica.
They didn't. And I don't, honestly, right. but Costa Rica should have pounced on him early in that game yesterday.
That's true. But does that fall entirely on Klinsmann then?
Is it
because his players aren't responding? Because the players on the field?
But it's his fault because he's not putting them in the best position to win. That's what a coach does. A coach puts you in the best position to win with the best players that you have. So, you know, going back to Jones, he shouldn't have been on the field. Chandler shouldn't have been on the field. Maybe you can. It falls back on him, on the coach. Jordan Klinsmann.
Another problem is, he might have the tools to make these players excel, but do the players believe in him? That's the number one problem in a coach. If the players do not believe the coach, do they not believe in a philosophy he plays out for the team?
None of us are in the locker room right now, and that's a good point. None of us are in the locker room, so all we can really judge it on is based on what we see. And when you see a group of that many players that look that unresponsive, that have that poor of a player performance, then you have to begin to believe it is something. But I think his messaging has really been up and down throughout. I was all for the Klinsmann hiring because I thought at the stage we were with U.S. soccer, we needed something different. We needed to give somebody an opportunity that won a World Cup to coach our team and break out of the Bob Bradley and Bruce Arena mold. Now it's likely that you may go back to something like that. So then you're going to say, how conducive have these 5 years been under Klinsmann? And I think people are going to go, we probably learned some things, but it's been pretty up and down.
I think I was all for Klinsmann because I was like, you change. I think the best thing he's done is been able to bring dual national players who can help this team. As far as tactically, he hasn't moved this soccer federation nowhere. You know, U.S. has failed to make the Olympics twice, something that he wanted to do for this U.S. Soccer Federation, and he failed to do that.
Right, that was a fail, yeah.
Twice. You know, there's been no proactive soccer. We haven't seen no proactive soccer.
But let's be fair here. He has done some things that haven't been done before. Didn't he win at Azteca? Didn't he beat a couple of bigger European teams? Now, granted, they were friendlies. But there have been a few things that did happen. Let's keep it rolling here. We got a great... Luis Milano's in here. Victor Arisa is here with DeporteIndependiente.com. Jesus Acevedo of MLSsoccer.com. Luis Milano, the founder of Raza Futbolera. All young guys, too. I love this. You know, we got to have the input of the young guys here, the up-and-comers in the soccer media here in Houston. We're going to continue to talk some U.S. We're going to branch out into CONMEBOL and also the Mexican national team, plus... we'll probably touch on some Dynamo as well here tonight. As we go to break, I just want to remind you to check out the Kings Court. It's down 903 Hutchins in Edo on the corner of Walker and Hutchins. They've got 13 taps down there. It's the Kings Court. They show the Premier League soccer matches from all over the world. NFL Sunday Ticket. We had a nice watch party down there. Drew some people. More people went down there last night. 24 taps, a full bar, 13 TVs. Extensive selection of spirits. Say hello to Jay down there. Rooftop patio. It's a real soccer pub feel at the King's Court. NCAA Men's College Cup is here December 9th and 11th. Semis are on Friday. It's college soccer at its best for a national title. NCAA.com for tickets. We really are urging all high school coaches, youth coaches, youth directors, adult leagues, let's get behind this. This is a collective effort from our Houston soccer community here to put people in the stands down there for that. So on national TV, we shine the way we should because we are a great soccer city. 7-Up and a Bud Light break. We'll come back with more. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. The best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Poor pass from Jones, giving Brooks little chance, and it's turned right back over to the Ticos. That spin might keep it in. Here's Bolaños against Gonzalez. Near post, header! Goal! The U.S. defense victimized again. Bolaños to Venegas and the Ticos in front. First touch, Azofefa out wide. Nice from Salvatierra, and it's now 3v3. Ruiz attacking from an angle. Jones comes back, ball in for Bolaños, and he beats Kazan for two.
No more, I can't take it anymore.
Midfield.
No more.
The Ticos strike twice.
No mas. I have the white flag up. I don't want to hear 3 and 4 when Joel Campbell comes on. All right, so as much as we're talking about the U.S., we do have to compliment Costa Rica. We come back in studio here, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, and a one more quick word here for Bud Light. A big thank you to Bud Light. Bud Light has supported me for many, many years down here in Houston, getting soccer on the radio in the mainstream. You don't do that without having some funds, and Soccer Matters really thanks Bud Light. Get out, get a smooth, clear, crisp Bud Light. Bud Light... you know, they're supporting your sport, the global sport. American grown and imported for the latest concerts, festivals, happenings in Houston. You go over to Bud Light Houston on Facebook, like them, or follow Bud Light Houston. Bud Light, raise one right now. And again, I want to do a shout out to, I was down at Career Day. I met the coolest kids in Pasadena at the Carter Lomax Middle School. If you're listening to the show, get back and do your homework. But anyway, had a great time down there. Some amazing teachers. Back in studio now with Luis Milano, Victor Arisa, and Jesus Acevedo. We'll continue to talk. So let's talk about the Ticos. Christian Bolaños, Brian Ruiz, Johan Venegas, by the way, who was causing the U.S. all kinds of fits, is not even a first-team player in Montreal. He generally comes off the bench, who are still in the MLS playoffs and will play Toronto. And then... how about the X factor? Joel Campbell of Arsenal, who's got this explosive, incredible pace, is kept on the bench and comes in and basically scores two goals for fun. So I'll start with you, Jesus. Talk about Costa Rica and what this means to them. I mean, they sit atop of CONCACAF right now with 6 points.
It looks very good for them going forward. This was one of their most difficult games, you know, always facing, you know, either U.S. or you know, Mexico. They have a good talent. Brian, he's still doing it. You know, he's what, 32, 33, he's still doing it solid. Joel Campbell was such an X factor coming off the bench. I was actually surprised that he came off the bench and not.
He didn't start.
And I started, but that could have been a good move.
Because Venegas was a surprise to all of us, getting a start.
Yeah, he was a surprise also in the way he played, because like you said, he's a bench player with the impact. But they have a good team going forward. They still have a lot of momentum from the last cup where they made it to the quarterfinals. So they should feel safe going on to the next round. Well, going on to the cup in 2018. I think they'll be one of the top four teams going.
Victor, how much was this about how poor the U.S. was and how good the Ticos were?
I mean, I think people are overlooking that Costa Rica is one of, if not maybe, yet to be seen, obviously. You know, once they face Mexico, one of the best teams in the region. And I think we have to go back to 2014 and realize that that was not a fluke. I think maybe...
Well, they nosedived after that. They had a rough Copa Centenario, too. The U.S. Right, smacked them in the Copa Centenario.
But that was one tournament. They didn't have a leader like Keylor Navas that now returns. You know, now Brian Reese is obviously back to a great level. Joe Campbell is living up to it. You know, he's from Arsenal. He's playing at Sporting in Portugal.
On loan.
He's had all these little loan deals, right? But he's when it comes to the Costa Rican national team, he has, like you said, that X factor. And I think also, you know, the climate, the locale. The U.S. has never won in Costa Rica, not even in their best days. To expect them to come in here, I think, and get the 3 points, I think, was maybe having a little too much hope if you're a U.S.
Yeah,
fan.
Yeah, but come on, to lose like this and get hit for 4 goals. And I heard a couple people say, I predicted. So, and I'm like, I'm bringing my BS meter out because nobody thought the U.S. was going to lose 4-0. They would have thought they were going to have a response. I didn't think they were going to win. I think they could potentially get a point.
And that
maybe
was the
they lose 1-0 or 2-1. But to give up four.
Loss. So a 1-0 loss, a 2-1 loss would have been better.
To give up four and throw your arms up that passively, I didn't see that coming.
Right. But again, that goes back to, I don't know what U.S. fans want. They want, they call Jurgen a cheerleader. They want him to be a better cheerleader. I mean, he's not out there playing on the field for them, right? I mean, that after the 2-0 and 2-0, we know that scoreline, that's one of the most dangerous.
It's 5 years of up and down and lack of clarity.
But we're talking about right now, though. We're talking about today.
Well, I thought you were defending him over the long term.
No, I'm saying about today. It's a 2-0 margin, which we know it's what? The most dangerous scoreline in soccer, right? Instead of the U.S. Coming back, trying to get back into the game with one goal and then maybe going out with a tie, they fall flat. Jurgen's not on the team. What I'm saying is, who's your leader on the field?
Is it Michael Bradley? There was none yesterday, but we already agreed on that. We already agreed that the players have a tremendous amount of accountability. We're not looking at just the one game. We're looking at that one game in the context of everything Klinsmann's done for 5 years now and everything that he's promised. And it really has been pretty tumultuous. And every time the daggers get out and the knives get sharpened by the press, he somehow responds and gets some results and pulls it back, like with the Copa Centenario and like the last World Cup qualifying process. I guess what we probably wanted to see was a more engaged team, a team that, again, has a defined purpose of play or something that shows a little bit more clarity. They got so stretched out against Mexico. He started with a three-back system, which was bizarre. You have to begin to believe,
right,
when many people are questioning what's going on, that there is a lack of clarity with purpose of play and with job definition. And professional soccer players, like anybody else, like me going in to do a TV broadcast, I want to be told what my parameters are, and I want to be told by the producer what you want from me outside of what I bring to it.
Right. Look, and I'm not here to say that he doesn't deserve to be fired. You know, I think
I'm not on the gangbang of whacking Klinsmann, because I just think his time is up. I think it's run its course.
Right, and you know, that's Sunil Gulati and the rest of the federation to decide, and they can make a move. That's up to them. I do think that we have to look at pointing the finger at Klinsmann himself. That's a problem as well, because I don't think that's your only problem. But I will say, if you are looking to move on from him, this is a good opportunity now, because you have the January preseason camp. There's a FIFA date in February, so there's probably going to be a game.
Who would you hire? Guys, who would you hire? Start with you.
See, and that's another thing. I think you have to be careful what you wish for, because who are you going to bring in to replace him?
I get that. Who would you hire?
In my case, I think there's one option, and it's Oscar Pareja.
I think that's who you have
to bring in. I think these wishful thinking of bringing Bruce Arena, I think that's a step backwards as opposed to a step forward. There's been some other names, obviously, around MLS.
We've heard Sam Allardyce. Yeah. We're hearing all kinds of crazy stuff.
I think Oscar would be the great guy, but I think that they have to give him full control to actually develop talent, because that's one thing that he's really great at. But I don't think that this soccer federation is actually, you know, willing to give somebody that much power, and that's why I don't think they will offer him.
They're going to go with the same choice.
Well, not.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, that's true. Technical that's director.
True. That's true.
That's he's nothing.
Gotta, he's that's got that's where you got to separate the two.
There's a little gray, there's a little gray area there where he's technical director and he's a head coach.
The word is that the technical side of it and the youth development side of it is being handled by someone in U.S. soccer named Jay Berhalter, who's long time been there. So remember, Klinsmann turned this job down because he wanted that control. And it really doesn't seem like a lot's been done with it. You've had some bad results with U.S. youth national teams. If that's the way we're going to judge it, you know, it's kind of like the Dynamo and their academy team. Are we going to judge it because they were a winning team, or are we going to judge it based on how many first-team players it produces? The club has still not produced a single first-team player that's ever been impactful. Not a one. Right. And it hasn't even happened organically.
Yeah. And that's where it gets, like I say, a little gray area, because when you're talking about Klinsmann as a national team manager, you're telling him what the national team is doing results-wise now. And then the technical director side of it, you're looking at the federation as a whole. If you decide to fire him, do you keep him on as a technical director as well? That's another question.
That's been bannered around today a lot.
That's something that actually
at least for the cup cycle,
just because he's technical director, he's not that bad. You know, just coaching is where he has no talent, and I'm not afraid to say that it shows on the field.
Yeah,
it's clear. It's
very clear.
But technical director, you know, I'll also say it again. You know, he can find dual enemy nationals who can play for the U.S., and he's been able to bring in some really good ones, and, you know, he can still keep doing that, but just not on the coach level. Now, the thing is, would he still stay on? I don't think he would stay on. I think he would just want to step away.
Corey writes in and says, do not hire Bruce Arena. I'm all for firing Klinsmann, but not just to fill a spot with another mediocre coach. Well, Bruce is pretty legendary, but is he the right fit right now?
Somebody who I think that kind of outside of the U.S., but I don't know if the Soccer Federation will be ready for him.
Klinsmann's not outside the U.S., but Klinsmann is a mindset that's European and very different.
I think it would be the same thing. I know the name Marcelo Bielsa has been bannered around, but I think Bielsa comes in, you get the exact same thing. You know, Bielsa's going to, you know, come in here, and at a certain point, maybe he loses the same thing.
So you guys are all saying it has to be somebody that, if in fact Klinsmann were removed, has to be somebody with a unique knowledge of the U.S. setup.
Well, we mentioned
then you're basically saying it needs to be an American coach.
It's going to be complicated because you bring in a European coach and you expected to bring in different results with him. And then a lot of people were like, well, don't bring in another European coach. You're going to be kind of like, let's stay away from that. Let's stay homegrown.
Yeah,
or
I think if you have to win the players over.
Then I guess, you know, Olskad is a good choice. And then Bruce is a good choice. But then there are two different choices because Bruce is the safe choice. You'll kind of go back and be like, well, we're choosing him because he's a legendary coach. And he's brought in results in the past. And then Olskad is someone who you can really put a risk on. But then would you really risk the World Cup qualifiers on him? So that's something that they're going to banter around. You know, they're going to put on the table and kind of decide, do we go with the safe choice or do we go with the risky one?
You're assuming they're going to fire him. And that's not a – we don't know that.
Right.
We don't know that yet.
With two games in, I think it's still early to say whether the U.S. will miss the cup.
There's a bunch of games left.
Remember, Mexico was in the same position right before
Other soccer countries – you might be fired after two results.
Exactly.
Like that.
That's what I'm saying. Look,
you might not even have lasted this long.
This was the Mexican national teams. How many times would Jurgen have already been fired in these 5 years?
Right. Oh. But, and I think that's another thing.
Okay.
But I think that's another thing. Why can't we be like that? U.S. fans get confused. This is in Mexico. And what I'm saying is, U.S. doesn't have the talent and that Mexico has. You know, I think you look at the U.S., and because of the United States and we're good at every other sport, that, you know, we have to be dominant. We kind of throw ourselves up there with Mexico and you know, the Englands and Frances of the world, when really maybe we're just Ecuador with more money, right? We're more of a...
I don't really see that. Well, I think that there is talent on this in this country, and it has been shown. I think the thing is that...
Right. But to compete with, like, the Englands of the world and Italy and... Germany, we don't have the youth development.
I wouldn't put England as.
Would you say Mexico has that same talent? Because I don't think Mexico has that same talent. Yeah, they may think that they have it, but they haven't shown it yet in any cup.
All right, hold on 1 second, because I want to reset things here a little bit. We've got Luis Milano in here. We've got Victor Arisa, And we've also got Jesus Acevedo in studio. If you want to call in and join the conversation, if there's some things you've heard us say that you agree or disagree with, 713-780-3776 is the number, 713-780-3776. We've been talking a lot of U.S. Soccer. We will take a break. As we go to break, just got to remind you again about the Daspit Law Firm. Moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. It's car accidents, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction. You might drive an 18-wheeler. Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm will work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. They'll fight for your right for compensation. DaspitLaw.com. Call them at 713-322-HURT. Irish Pub with an Irish Feel. That's the Gorgeous Gale. It's the place for you. Head over to the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside in West U. Catch all the best soccer and football matches there. Stop by for a pint and a bite. Whiskey offerings are excellent over there. Say hello to my friend Peter. They've got a real open feel there. Lots of monitors, an outdoor patio. The Gorgeous Gale is the place to be. GorgeousGale.com. It's an official Soccer Matters pub. And other ones are the Richmond Arms, the King's Head Pub, King's Court near downtown, and, of course, the infamous Bar Munich in Midtown. It's a Bud Light. It's a 7-Up break. We're back with more.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, quick word here for Bar Munich. Get down to one of the great soccer watching spots in Houston. Bar Munich is in Midtown. Say hello to my friend Raymond there. It's a wonderful open airy spot. Football fans, you'll love it down there. It's right in the heart of Midtown. It's Bar Munich on Louisiana, barmunich.com, 2616 Louisiana, a Soccer Matters pub. And also, again, as I'm going to be doing throughout the upcoming weeks as we drive out towards the NCAA Men's College Cup that's here in Houston, get your tickets at NCAA.com for the Men's College Cup. They're very reasonable. If you're a parent and you've got kids that are playing the youth game and you're hoping they're going to continue their career and play in front of their peers in college, without a doubt, you got to get them down there and put them in front of the four teams that are going to survive the playoffs and the bracketing, which is going on right now. So, again, NCAA.com, NCAA Men's College Cup, BBVA Compass Stadium. Semifinals are December 9th. The final is December 11th. And believe it or not, I'm actually calling that game for ESPN, which is pretty cool in a town that I live in. So very excited about that. But I'm more excited about Houston really getting out and supporting this event and showing our soccer community off, not just when the Copa Centenario comes to town. We want to get some fans down there. We have actually a local organizing committee meeting tomorrow morning at BBVA Compass Stadium, headed up by Rachel Kwan, who's been doing a great job. And we got a nice group of people, so we're hoping to make an impact. NCAA.com for your tickets. All right, we come back in studio. Luis Milano, Jesus Acevedo, Victor Arisa. And we're going to go to the phone lines. And Frank, what's on your mind tonight, Frank?
Hey, really quick, just shout out to my friend Jesus Acevedo. He knows who I am. But quick analysis on the U.S. men's national team. I know you guys talked about a couple of coaches. Have you guys ever thought about getting Steve Cherundolo? He used to play with the men's national team, and he's in like an assistant coach in Germany.
Well, it would be somebody you'd certainly want to be tracking and keeping an eye on. I don't think there's any question. There's another former U.S. player that we were talking about during the break called David Wagner, who worked under Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool. And David Wagner's now at Huddersfield, has him doing exceptionally well. But he's a guy that did play for the U.S., I believe it was like 97. So he's another sort of outside-of-the-box thought that, that maybe people aren't really thinking about. But Chirundolo likely is going to make a great coach. I mean, obviously, he's had all that time in Germany. So I think anybody with worth their salt, U.S. soccer, would be tracking these guys for sure.
I think.
Yeah. Another analysis I wanted to add, like, especially versus a Costa Rica game, I think that the U.S. Men's national team, they have really good talent, but I think they focus a lot on the defenders, like their central defenders, having them being very tall. It's like most of the taller players, they're usually always central defenders. If you look at a lot of the other, like Latin American teams, they usually don't have a lot of taller defenders. They have like smaller players. I think the U.S. did good when they had like one tall guy, like Oguchi Onyewu and Boca Negra. So they kind of complemented each other. Like,
both of those guys were very good in the air. I mean, I don't know if it really comes down to size. I think it comes down to the blend of two center backs playing as one. And here's where the big problem was: your best center back, who it took Klinsmann way too long to sort of anoint him finally a center back, is Jeff Cameron, because nobody can move athletically like him laterally to cover people. And with it, without him there, the two center backs never really meshed. And to their defense, it wasn't working in front of them either. So anyway, that's my thought on that, Frank.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty much about it. I just didn't see the defenders move as quick as other previous lineups back, back in the 2005, 2010 era. Like, just these current defenders, they just seem like so slow, you know, like they don't have, good coordination amongst each other.
We'll take it, Frank. Thank you very much for the phone call. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. All right, let's keep the phone calls coming. Let's go to Sean. Sean, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, how are you guys?
Very good.
I'm just really shook right now. I can't get over this last week of soccer and stuff. And it's not only just, I guess, because of this week. It's just this year between both the teams. It's been such a roller coaster. And I think it really culminated last night seeing the defense totally give up, like not even care to play anymore. And I really think that that stems from Jurgen, obviously. And I just think that there's no motivation. His lack of tactic, field knowledge is through the roof, horribly bad. And I would do anything for a change, man. 5 years of this shit stuff. I've seen so many.
Hey, you can't say that on the air, so I apologize. We had to drop you, Sean, but you can't. There's no swearing on the air, so Tyler Scott was very quick to jump out of the producer's chair. Come on the show, you can't use that language. So in the future, please remember that. It was too bad because he was getting to a decent point there. All right, I want to move you guys on now. 713-780-3776 is the number. Let's talk a little Premier League, Manchester United, because the Premier League will be back in action this weekend. We've got a couple of good games, specifically United at Old Trafford against Arsenal. That's one to keep an eye on. You got Bob Bradley at Everton with Swansea, Manchester City at Crystal Palace, Liverpool going to Southampton. And Liverpool, by the way, is in first place in the Premier League now, and 26 points under Jurgen Klopp. I want to go out to Jose Mourinho, though, because it kind of plays into this whole thing with Jurgen Klinsmann and Michael Bradley and Jones and the tactics and some of the quotes we've seen in the paper. Jose Mourinho's been calling out players in the press, Luke Shaw and Chris Smalling, basically for being soft without saying that, questioning their desire. What do you think about Mourinho and where he's at? I'll start with you, Luis, with Manchester United, after spending $100 million. Is he having a problem with the modern-day soccer player?
I have an idea that, you know, he's probably having the troubles even since Chelsea. I think he's a very short-term coach. He seems to adapt the first season, second season, get the results.
I think it's back when he was in Madrid.
Yeah, he tends not to last long wherever he goes, probably because he runs through the players' tempers. And he can't seem to control the locker room. You know, a lot of the times, every time he leaves a team, all of the players after he leaves, it's like, well, we didn't really feel comfortable under him. We didn't like him. Even Danny Carvajal, who was really excelling at Real Madrid, he got sold from Real Madrid to Bayer Leverkusen, and he even went on interview to say, well, I was never told why I was sold. They never gave me a chance. So it's probably that, you know, with Sir Alex Ferguson, he was a very, you know, player's manager. He could manage the players. He would talk to them. He would tell them, you know, he would go up front and tell them, this is how much you're going to play, and you're going to be this type of player, and this is the involvement you're going to have with the team. And with Jose, he doesn't even talk to you. He just excels you out.
Oh, but Jose has been noted for his man management skills and getting the best out of players. He's questioning the desire of players publicly, Luke Shaw and Chris Smalling. He's had a lot of support, by the way, also. I think there's a lot of us, myself included, who don't think he was the right fit for the Manchester United way. It's a club that has a history of not only winning, but the way they win, the way they play the game. I never thought he was the right fit. But in his defense, Jesus, the modern-day athlete now, they're talking about Shaw and Smalling, and some of the ex-United players were saying, look, everybody's got a niggling injury at this point in the Premier League. Everybody's playing through a little bit of pain and through injuries, and they were calling Luke Shaw and Chris Smalling out as being soft.
I think it goes back to something we were talking about during the commercial break. I feel like they feel entitled, and maybe they don't want to push themselves, and maybe it could be that they're just tired of Mourinho. It could just be straight to that, and maybe they don't want to give that extra 10% or that extra 20%, and maybe they don't want to push themselves to risk themselves getting injured if it's that bad. But I think I think that Mourinho he doesn't fit what that club is and what that club wants to be.
Yeah, yeah. I think character sometimes is the question. And as much as we want to put it on Klinsmann, I think looking at his tenure in the big picture, also last night, you know, you can play pridefully in spite of a manager, right? And that's what I think disappointed a lot of U.S. fans as well. But I think it's been set up for Klinsmann to be moved on at some point. We'll see what happens. Gentlemen, Victor Arisa, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Luis Milano, thank you very much. Jesus Acevedo.
Thank you for having
Excellent
me.
Job, guys. You are all going to be welcome back in the future. So thank you again for coming in.
I want more caps. Definitely.
Great insight. You got your second tonight, Jesus. Hey,
can we get some Liberty Kitchen in here? Or what?
We will do a Liberty Kitchen, Victor. I promise you. That's a nice plug there for Liberty Kitchen. All right. For Tyler Scott, I thank you. And again, all our great sponsors, Kings Court, NCAA Men's College Cup, Richmond Arms, Kingshead Pub, Daspit Law Firm, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, Bud Light, The Gorgeous Gale, Bar Munich. We thank all of you. The Houston Dynamo, we thank them as well. We'll have more Dynamo talk next week. We didn't even get to Dynamo talk. So that'll do it tonight. Go over to Facebook, Soccer Matters, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, and we will talk to you in the near future here. More to come with the best in soccer talk on ESPN 97.5 at Soccer Matters. Good night, everyone.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.